You'll be able to appreciate a bit more what I'm saying. Read the Sukkim, make some diukim, and based on those diukim, I'm going to come to certain conclusions which are very significant. As you know, the mitzvah that the Torah is addressing here is the mitzvah of Bikurim, the first fruit that a farmer is obligated to bring to the Beit HaMikdash. The mitzvah of Bikurim consists really of two chalakim, there are two segments to this mitzvah. One is the mitzvah of Havrat Bikurim, the bringing of the Bikurim. And the second segment is the mitzvah of Kriyas HaParsha. That the farmer reads the Parsha, which is familiar to us because on the night of the Seder, the Mishnah writes in Avit Sofim, we dash in the Parsha. And which Parsha am I talking about? The Parsha that's known as Aram Yodhi Rabbi. That's found here in Pasuk Kei, Perek Havdov, Parsha Sitzav of Pasuk Kei. The Mishnah writes in Avit Sofim, Bedoshim, the Arami Abu Rabbi, Yashiyikma, Parah Parsha Kuba. Every word practically undergoes exegesis. That means drush. Every word is dashin in the course of the Seder night, and this is the same parsha that the farmer recites when he brings the Bikurim to the Beit HaMikdash. And there is actually a very common element that really unites the Seder night and the farmer who brings the Bikurim and recites the parsha. What element is that? You would say offhand if I were to ask you. What is the common feature or the common factor that unites both the Seder, the night of the Seder, when we dash in this Pasha, Rabbi Rabbi Rabbi, and the farmer who brings the Kurim to the Beit HaMikdash, what would you say is the element that unites both? Rashi actually alludes to it here, the Sefer HaChinuch writes in his Switzerland, in this Pasha, Great Land, but that element is the element of Hakarat HaTzom, which I'm going to speak about a little bit later, namely, one of the most fundamental of all the principles the Torah has is Hakarat HaTzom, gratitude that we should have, demonstrating gratitude, and on the night of the Seder, of course, we're grateful to Hashem Yisbarach for taking us out of Egypt. That is clearly the most fundamental principle in Yitzias Mitzrayim, is in Makir Tov, to thank Hashem for that which He did. And so too, the farmer, in the course of planting and tilling the soil, and nurturing it, and cultivating it, and ultimately yielding the produce, the farmer also is Makir Tov, is thanking Hashem for the bounty, for the beneficence that Hashem has provided for him. So that's the common element between the two. So now I want to first read the parasha, make some diukim, and then discuss a little bit the nida of Hakarat HaTzom. The pasuk says, in the beginning of Perek Havdov, and before you can start reading with me, V'hayoki sabor la'aret, asher Hashem alokecha nosein lecha nachala, v'yishto v'yashach tadoa. And Rashi already comments, based on the Gemara, based on Mishnayos, that the mitzvah of Bikurim does not really begin until after Yerusha v'Yeshiva. There were 7 years of conquest and 7 years of dividing the land, and after that period of 14 years, only then we have the mitzvah of Bikurim that comes to the fore. And now the Torah describes the actual process, which is mentioned by the Mishnah in the last parak of Masechet Bikurim, the third parak actually of Masechet Bikurim. V'lakavta m'reshit kol pri ha'adam asher tovim mi'artecha, asher Hashem alokecha nosein lach, v'tzamta v'atene, the farmer puts the Bikurim in a basket, והלכה למקום אשר יוכל השם הלכה לשכן שמו שם, he comes to ירושלים, he comes to the bottom of המקדש, and then the pasuk says, ובשר לכהן אשר יהיה ביום ההם, he comes to the Kohen, ואמרת אליו, and you tell him, you make the following statement, הגעתי היום לשם הלכה, the word הגעתי, of course, is מלשון הגגה, and essentially what you're saying is, you're making a verbal statement, to your God. And here already there's a question that we show them our trouble with. Why is it Hashem Elokecha your God? Is it not the God of the farmer? It's also His God. There is one God that we believe in. We are Amin, Hashem Echad, Yishmor Echad. So why does the language of the Torah seemingly reflect some other idea? Your God and not my God is very striking. We show them a very trouble with it. But that's what he makes, a verbal declaration. He got to hear Hashem Elokecha. Kibasi alaret hashemish b'Hashem rabaseinu b'aseif b'adam. Now Rashi has a famous comment here that I'm going to teach that a little bit later. On the pasuk b'yamata eilav, on those words, Rashi says, she'encha kafui tova. What does that mean? That you are not an ingrate. Kafui tova means someone who is lacking in what leads us? Hakarat HaTov. So therefore, Rashi It underscores this midah, and the entire mitzvah because it's based on Hakarat HaTov. When Hashem gives us bounty, when Hashem gives us produce, when Hashem actually gives us success, Hatzlacha in life, no matter what particular endeavor, what enterprise you're involved in, you're obligated to Hakarat HaTov. So Rashi says, that's the nature of the statement that you're making, Higazi Ayom Hashem Alotera Sheim Kokotu Tova. And you thank Hashem for bringing us there to Israel. I continue, Pasuk Dalet. The Kohen takes the basket of fruit that you brought and puts it before the Mizbeach. And then we have now question number two. In Pasuk K, Vi Anisa Vi Amarta. How do you translate the word Vi Anisa? Generally, what does the word mean? The answer. Generally, when one answers, one is responding to a question. Is there any question that's being posed here that you see? Absolutely none. So what is the nature of Vi Anisa? Of course, we Jews usually respond even when there are no questions, shall we say, asked. So that doesn't disturb us. We always have what to say. But the language of Vi Anisa is very striking, and again, the Mefarshim are very troubled by this language. Rashi already noted the problem. Rashi comments to Pasuk Tei, Vi Anisa L'shom HaRamat Kol. Rashi says it means to raise your voice. It's an entire halakhic issue. Those of you who are familiar with the concept of the halacha called Shomer Ka'omer, I assume you've heard that, when let's say one person makes Kiddush on Friday night and everyone else is Yosei, how are they Yosei? By virtue of their listening to the Kiddush that the Mekadosh made. And they Yosei to the concept called Shomer Ka'omer. By hearing the Kiddush, it's as if they themselves said the Kiddush, Shomer Ka'omer. So here, Rashi says, apparently, and that's what many Mefarshim understand Rashi to say, the Anisa L'shon HaRamat Kol, whenever there's a din, that you have to raise your voice somehow, there's no halacha of Shomer Ka'omer. Shomer Ka'omer doesn't work. I'm not discussing that problem by now, I'm just mentioning it there are Chaga in this Rashi. But the question that I raised is a legitimate and valid question. If there's no question, so what is the farmer responding to? I continue. The Anisa V'Yamata V'Hashem Elokecha. Now we recite the parsha that I mentioned, it said on Pesach night. Arami Yavei Rabi. By the way, whom is that referring to? So there's an Achodes of Rishonim. Whether it's referring to Rabban, very good, that's a simple pshat. Arami Obey Rabbi, but how would you translate it if it refers to Rabban? The translation is Arami Rasa Beha'adid Et Rabbi. He wanted to destroy my father. That's the way you would translate it if it's referring to Rabban. If it's not referring to Rabban, who else might it be referring to? A wandering Aramean was my father. The language of Obey is wandering, as the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Ta'iti Kiseh Obey. So which individual is being referred to, if that is the translation, not Bavan, but rather? Yaakov Avinu, correct. Arami Avei Ravi, that Yaakov essentially was wandering. Vayir Mitzrayimah, and ultimately he went down to Mitzrayim. Vayav Hashem and Seymah, Vayisham and Zoy Golo, and Vayav Kavisel, they had developed into a great nation. But we know what happened there. There's also the question of Hashem and Avala by Pasuk Vav. Vayareim Osonu Hamitzim Vayaminu. They obviously perpetrated all kinds of evil against us, but the language of Vayareu Osanu, what should it have said? Instead of Osanu, it should have said Vayareu, in proper Hebrew, Lonu. They were bad to us. What's the language? Vayareu Osanu, you hear the problem? These are two different cases in Diktok. I don't know if anyone still studies Diktok. That is considered to be an evil subject, one which is absolutely viewed with contempt and disdain by most people. Is that probably true? I actually studied Dikta from a very young age. I was very lucky. And my father, Shalom, was very into Dikta. And the Rabbeim I had taught me Dikta at a very young age. In grade one, they had me memorizing a sefer called Ruach HaPa'alim HaShalem. Every single verb conjugated, every single binyan imaginable. One of the most exciting ventures I ever got involved in. And obviously Jeffrey. But the fact is that I ultimately absorbed a lot of victims. And so here there's a problem with this language, Vayarei Olonu, which is said Vayarei Olonu. So the answer that Rishonim points out is that they essentially depicted us as being evil people, just like the non-Jewish world sees Jews also as being evil. I don't know if you're aware what happened recently in an article in a Swedish newspaper. I imagine you read about it. It's absolutely mind-boggling. And it's really chabal that whatever reason, it became an issue, and the more it became an issue, the more they refused to Swedish government and the Swedish press, of course, all the name of freedom of speech. You can accuse us of everything, of blood libels and what have you. And we spend our days taking Palestinians and cutting up their bodies and using their organs. Just mind-boggling how the world believes this kind of nonsense. And nothing has changed from the days of the blood libels. And that's all embedded in this puzzle. Vayareu Osana, the Torah hints to this idea. They made us into evil people. Not that they did bad to us. That would have been the expression Vayareu Osana. You hear what I'm saying? Vayareu Osana implies they saw us as being evil people. I assume you're familiar with Goebbels during the days of Nazi propaganda. He actually played a similar kind of role, how Jews were depicted. And unfortunately, the world believes everything. The world believes the big lie that Goebbels portrayed about the Jewish people during the Nazi Holocaust in the Shoah. And here we have already, shall we say, echoes of this early on in Israel. Vayanunu, and they tortured us, Vayidu alayna avodat kasha, Vayitzak al Hashem alokei avoseinu, Vayishma Hashem eskoleinu, Vayar asoneinu. We cried out to Hashem, and He responded to our tefillot, and Pasuches. He was taken out of Mitzrayim with all kinds of Nisim and Pasuk Tet. He brought us there to Israel, and He gave us the land for wine and milk and honey. And therefore, Pasuk Yud, Yatra, Hinei, Meitin, and graciously, Adava, Hashem, Asat, Adi, Hashem. And therefore, as a result of this entire history, I am bringing the first fruits of the ground that I tilled and toiled and cultivated, and placing it before Hashem, Mishtachavit, and Hashem, and Okecha, the Samach, and the Chalatov, and then there's a tremendous degree of joy. And as you know, the week's Yomtiv is called the Chag HaBikurim, of course the Yomtiv of Shavuot, right? And therefore, we have essentially the entire Parsha of Bikurim, as I said, really articulated over here. And just to answer the questions that I asked earlier, I will just share with you a yisod that I heard from a Rebbe of mine. I had a Rebbe when I was a freshman in college, Sidov Kalatapsi, the Chatan Yerucha. And he was one of the most exciting rabbis I was ever exposed to in my entire life. He was encouraging me a lot tremendously. I became very close to him. One of my children is named after him, Tzvido. And he, with reference to the questions that I posed to him, told me the following. Imagine a farmer living in Eretz Yisrael, let's say living in Dimona, all the way down south. Or a farmer living all the way up north, for those who are familiar with Eretz Yisrael. And living in, where up north should we? Metula. Everyone ever been to Metula? Kedai to visit. Very picturesque kind of place. But not far from there are some people who don't like it too much. Right across the border. Anyway, but a farmer comes from Tula, a farmer comes from Dimona, and really feels no connection to the Beit HaMikdash. Beit HaMikdash seems very distant, seems very, shall we say, far from this particular farmer, who has a small plot of land, which he cultivated and tilled and toiled over. And what connection does he have to the Beit HaMikdash with all this pomp and ceremony, all this pageantry, all this majesty, all of its beauty? And that's what the Pasuk that my Rebbe is alluding to. That once you take your fruit, and come to Yerushalayim, so what do you tell the Kohen? Yigarti ayom Hashem Elokecha. It's your God. I have no connection to this. It's not my God. He doesn't even feel that he is somehow, in any way, tied to the Mikdash. He feels very distant, very far away. And what does the Kohen do? The Kohen takes his basket and puts it before them as bear. The moment the farmer sees that, the farmer is absolutely astounded that here, my fruit that I worked so hard to develop and the like, the Kohen is placing it before one of the Nekomas HaKadoshim, and as a result, the farmer responds to that situation. That's the Anitza of Yamat, as I already said, and he based on Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra right here points out, anyone who learned Eos, I assume you're familiar with Eos, we're going to get to it in Baal Basra, and that has loved him today, because Zayin and Allah, exactly who he was and when he lived, and that's quite a mystery that Chazal also deal with, that we actually happen to mention today. But the Ibn Ezra comments that Eov, as you know, what happened with Eov, the very first chapter of Eov? Eov was a very old fellow who was a Yirei Elokim, Ishtab, Sur Meirat, as that was described by the Tanakh, and the Sultan decided to test him, And told Hashem is brought, I want to test him. This guy is so successful, so wealthy. Of course he's Yirei Shamayim. But someone has the kind of wealth, the kind of opulence, the kind of lifestyle, the kind of lifestyle that you don't have, why shouldn't he be Yirei Shamayim? Why should he not have be talking about Hashem? Let me test him a little bit. So how was Yirei tested? Rahman was climbed in the most horrific kind of way. All kinds of tragedies. He lost basically his entire family. He lost all of his property. He lost all of his wealth. And Yirei essentially was bereft, was someone who was almost totally destroyed by the tragedies that happened to him. And then what happens is the Chaverim of Yirei, that's the rest of the Sefer, or the whole Sefer I should say, the Chaverim of Yirei come to comfort him and come to console him, and essentially each time you have a Chaver of Yirei saying what they have to say, and each one represents a philosophic position. That's the Ramban, in his commentary to Yirei, explains the whole Sefer. And then each time Yirei responds to his Chaver, Vayad Yirei Vayomah. So the Ibn Ezra compares the Vayad Yirei Vayomah of each of his Chaverim to the Yalitza de Amata. And what is Ibn Ezra trying to say? Because like he said, Rav Shidon Kertavsky, Zatzal, he said that exactly what's happening here. The farmer, who felt very distant, not connected, completely from a different planet, in some respect, from a little town in Zabona, from a little town in Metula, now he comes to Shalayim with all of its incredible majesty of beauty and pageantry, and his parents are placed by the Kohen before the Mizbeach, and suddenly the entire tone of the farmer changes. That's embedded in this one word, V'yamisa v'yamata v'yashem alokecha. And the language changes as well. Before, the language that the farmer used was, as I told you, he got the ayom Hashem alokecha. It's your God. And it's our forebears in Pasuk Gimel. Asher nishma Hashem avoseinu. But what do I have to do with it? But now take a look at the language as it begins to tell the history of Kal Yisrael. Why is that introduced here? Whether it refers to Lavan or refers to Yaakov Avinu, it doesn't make a difference. But now it begins to literally speak about the history of Kal Yisrael, which really begins to a certain extent from Lavan or Yaakov Avinu, and going down to Mitzrayim, becoming a great nation and being persecuted, and Hashem coming to the rescue, and finally coming down to Israel, which is a princely, more or less a summary of the entire history of Kal Yisrael, which is found in Sefer Bereishis. And now he writes in Pasuk Yud, the Atta, Hine Eveitiach Bereishis Priyadava, Asher Nasata Li Hashem. Now he speaks in a very personal kind of way. Now he feels connected, now he feels bonded, now he feels he's part of this, shall we say, he's part of the beauty and pageantry of God himself, the Jewish people. And as a result, the Torah then describes, the Samachta B'chol HaTov, Asher Nasan V'cho, Hashem HaLekech L'Vizkash. It's no longer something distant, something far, something beyond, something removed, but something that I feel very connected to. Hear what I'm saying? Some I already suggested to explain. There are other passages that I'm not going to get into them right now, but that's how to explain the change in language and change in tone that you find over here between the beginning of the parasha and the end of the parasha. And all this, where does that change take place? With one word. Which word? The Anisa of the Amata. So the Anisa means to respond to a situation. The Anisa means to essentially completely be transformed, be metamorphosed by what happened, and that will be embedded in the language of the Anisa. So what I want to talk about, as I said, is what Rashi says over here. And not just Rashi, and Zirak from the Sefer HaChinuch, he writes in a great length, namely, the idea which is really embedded in bringing the Bikurim, which is the idea of Hakara Sabbat. I'm just going to spend a few minutes, 10 minutes or so, describing it. There's a statement in Mishnah and Bikurim. The Mishnah writes, Odeinu Hatzal Al Sefer, even when the basket of Bikurim is still on his shoulders, he's walking to Yerushalayim and begins to recite, Higarti Ayom Hashem Alokecha, Kibasi Alat Hashem Nishma Hashem Lavotel Alot Tzvonu, and Rashi quotes the phrase that I mentioned, She'eino Kofu Itova. What does that mean? He's not a Kofu Itova? He's not an ingrate. He's not someone who's lacking in gratitude towards Hashem Yisrael. He expresses his gratitude towards Hashem Yisrael. The reason why I mentioned that is because I'm going to go back to other Ravishon. If you remember, other Ravishon Ganeid in the Torah tells us that after the Chet, he had basically one Sibu in Ganeid, and that was not the Yitzhu Eitz Adad. And after the Chet, the third, so we have the following dialogue between Hashem and other Ravishon. And I'll just short the dialogue. Hashem asked in Hamina ate Hashem to Bisicha, the Bilti Achol Mimeno Apalta, did you eat from that tree that was forbidden to you, that you were interdicted from, you were not allowed to eat from? So what is the answer, other Marishon? Whom does he point the finger at? His wife. Ha'isha Hashem Asat Rimagi, that's only what women are for. Actually, Chumash says that usually you blame the children. But before you have children, you blame your wife. That is my wife. And says Rashi, on the spot, Tan Kafar Bitova. Other Marisha was the Kofar Batova. I do want to point out there are two expressions that I use. Rashi uses the expression Bereshit Tan Kafar Bitova, but the Rashi in our Pasha says, when the farmer recites the Pasha, Rashi says, She'eno Kofui Tova. There are two expressions that Rashi uses. One is kafu tov, which means to be an ingrate, and the other is the expression used by Rashi in Bereshit, kan kafar betova. The makor of Rashi is the Gemara of the Zohar, the Gemara of the Hayav Bebe. The Gemara says, Adam HaRishon kafu tov ha'ya. He was a kafu tov. Shenema ha'isha shenasati imadi, he nasali ro'okel. What's the distinction between someone who is kofer betov and someone who is a kafut tov? You have to know Hebrew a little bit in order to appreciate the nuance between these two expressions. The expression of kofer betov, someone who is kofer betov, what exactly does that person do? Someone does me a favor and I ignore it. I pretend that he did not do me any favor. I pretend I'm not aware of the favor that he did for me. I simply play it very cool and as I say, unaware of that which he did. That's a terrible midah in and of itself. However, there's even a worse midah. And that is not the midah of kofer betov, what I call kofer betov. Kofer betov means that the tov that someone else does to me, I make fun of it, I mock it, I deride it, I treat it with derision, I make snide remarks about what he did and about the person who did it. Because I try to turn everything upside down. And therefore, had the Rishon simply said that when Hashem told him, did you eat from that tree? So he could have answered, Ha'isha, she gave me from that tree and I ate. He could have answered that. That itself would be kofer betov. That would be itself chomer, that would be a terrible thing. However, he goes even further. Ha'isha, Hashem nasata imadi, he nasa imana'eit v'ochel. And what is he saying? Not only is she guilty, but you Hashem. You caused it. You gave me a wife in order to do what? In order to ensnare me. In order to trap me. In order to somehow bring me down. So that is not just being kofer betov, but being kofer betov. You hear what I'm saying? So there are two levels. One level is a fundamental level. That's being kofer betov, but this is much worse. To be kofer betov. And therefore, what does Hashem do? Hashem decides that no longer will other Marishon and Chava remain in Gan Eden. Just to give you a proof to this, I have a bit of a proof from the Gemara of the Zohar and the family of Aleph. The Gemara there compares other Marishon to the Zohar Midbar. I'll read the lines of the Gemara as directed. Amalan Moshe Yisrael, Moshe tells the Tal Yisrael. This is talking about in the context of the man. Hashem gave us the man to sustain us in the desert. The Moshe tells Tal Yisrael, Kofun Tova, or Kfuye Tova, B'nei Kfuye Tova. You ingrate sons of ingrates. What does that mean? Kfuye Tova, you ingrate. This is, how do we describe the man when we began to complain? Man on Monday, and man on Tuesday, and man on Wednesday, and man on Thursday. A Rebbe of mine, Mechen Mizrachel, I left one day, he was my study position of Atakana. He was a Talmud of his Torah, Soloveitchik Duncan, Zelma Soloveitchik. I used to say Valeri Soloveitchik, he was a giant himself, and he was a Rebbe of mine in Yeshiva University, and I became very close to him. As a matter of fact, my Chasana, I was supposed to be Zochet to Harav Soloveitchik to be Masar Kedushim. The day of the Chasana, he called and told me, I can't do it, because the cousin of his is getting married the same day in Boston. He didn't know about it. And what could he do? So I was absolutely floored. That's not the even, doesn't reflect even a bit of what I felt. And so he said to me, he saw how I felt. He said, tell me which other Rabbanim are coming to the wedding. So as far as I was concerned, I only wanted him and nobody else. You can understand that, I imagine. And I told him who's coming. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, his son-in-law, also Echad Gedolei Hador, is much younger than 36 years ago. But even then he was one of the Gedolei Hador. And Rav Yisrael Alper Zatzal, Talmud Lubu, Rav Asher Feinstein, also Echad Gedolei Hador. And I mentioned a few others, very big Rabbanim. He didn't say anything. Then I mentioned Rav Meir Hornstein Zatzal. He said, oh, he's the one! He should be Messiah Kedushin. I was very taken aback. I knew Rav Meir Hornstein, but I can't say I saw him in the same light as Rav Soloveitchik. And then he told me, the Rav, that he was among the top two or three Talmidim of my uncle, the Gizkor. I was absolutely floored, and he became the Messiah Kedushin. And a lot of stories about that wedding as well, since I was present. I was a husband. So I have, and I don't believe he ever applied for the Tzad Kedusha before. The first time he did it. But he was a giant in learning. But he just didn't have the practical skill that, you know, rabbis, they go to rabbinic school for this reason. They teach them 1, 2, 3, 4, they have a piece of paper in front of them, do 1, do 2, do 3, do 4. He was not of that. He just knew Kamashat by heart. But, so we taught the Tzuba, and he didn't like the language of the Tzuba. He said, this language is against the Ramban over here. And he's fighting against that Gemara, he's fighting against the third Gemara, and no one knew what to do with it, because he was such a giant in learning, and they didn't want to start up with it. So I said in my silly fashion, but this is a pretty tumor, we bought it in the store, and it looks very good. Anyway, so that chuppah took about 2.5 hours, so we got the tumor together, but it was really a tremendous lesson to me. So, why am I telling you this? I'm not one thing, but now I went to the new yeshiva in Shanghai. So I asked him one day, what did they have for meal? I'm sure they had a very nice meal. So he told me the following. He told me they had bulbous zuntig and bulbous muntig. Bulbous dinstig and bulbous dinstig. Bulbous dorishtig and bulbous sunfighting. Bulbous means potatoes. Potatoes on Sunday, potatoes on Monday. Potatoes on Tuesday, potatoes on Wednesday, potatoes on Friday. For 5 years they had potatoes and more potatoes and more potatoes. So I said, Shabbos also? He said, Shabbos, they had bulbous, they tashtiko heavy. That's what he told me. I said, how long did you go through this diet? 5 years of potatoes. I said, what happened when you came to America? I hated potatoes, he told me. B'chol libi, b'chol nafshi, b'chol b'chol. With all my heart and all my soul. That's what he told me. I've lost one thing. He's my son's mission. Anyway, why am I using this story? Because the Gemara of the Zohar that Moshe told Kogisar, you are a bunch of ingrates, you. When he came to the man, he described the man as Dinavshenu Kapsa Valachan Haklokel. We were disgusted by him. That's how the Torah describes the cause of the action to the man. Man on Sunday, man on Tuesday, man on Wednesday, man on Thursday. Imagine if here they were to serve you. We all should actually allude to the wonderful meals that we have over here. Imagine they would serve you grapes on Monday, grapes on Tuesday, grapes on Thursday, grapes on Thursday, grapes on Friday. And on Shabbat, if you get grapes, with a little paprika. That's how they describe the man. So the Gemara compares that, how called you still reacted to the man, with other Marisha, the Chede Kadaf, it says, Halisha, Shenasati, Imadi. So this is not only being cultured with those, but being cultured with those. And this is something which is what I wanted to talk about a little bit, and I think Hakonas HaTov, you probably know, as I said before, is the most fundamental of all these things. To be thankful for that which Hashem Yisrach has given us. I, from time to time, visit people, unfortunately, in hospitals, people who are not well, people who have that dreadful disease, I'm talking about cancer, God forbid, people who have other issues. Someone actually in my neighborhood a few weeks ago, a fellow who's a plumber, fell off a ladder, had a terrible concussion, was almost shall we say, a goner, thank God he recovered, and just uncanny when you visit people in a hospital, you get a better sense of, and you're much more thankful of Baruch Hashem, what Hashem Yisrach has given you individually and not collectively, and that means the Mitzvah HaKar Satov. And HaKar Satov is the most fundamental of all Mitzvot. And that is the basis for the Tasha Bikurim, that one should be Makitov, that is both of it, every single second in a person's life, every single second that I can breathe, that I can eat properly, that I can walk properly, that I can function properly, Now, unfortunately, many, many people in this world have suffered from the panoply of all kinds of diseases, both physiological and psychological, and one should be constantly mocking yourselves, thanking Hashem for every second of the day that enabled Baruch Hashem to breathe and to be alive. So this is the sort of the mitzvah of the Purim, that one should not only not be a kofer tov, but not be a kofer tov, and really one has to be mocking yourselves to everyone. Mocking yourselves to my parents. I'm not lucky to have parents. My parents passed away a number of years ago. And sometimes you only appreciate people when they no longer are living. And that's very tragic. You have to mock yourself to our Rabbeim. I had outstanding Rabbeim in Yeshiva University. They were just absolutely gems. And they probably changed my life in many ways. I was primarily interested in becoming a research biologist. My interest in science, and basically the courses I took were in physics, organic chemistry, and the like. I had to enjoy science very much. My father is a Cooper Union person, engineering and math. Those are areas that I also enjoy. Probably the genetic, I imagine, has something to do with it. But at the end of the day, my Rabbi succeeded in somehow shifting the focus of my attention to Limud HaTorah in the most profound way. And I had, as I said, outstanding Rabbi. I had a Rebbe, Mr. Abkhazapsi, the Rebbe Zracha. He excited me about Limud HaTorah. He was a Mechad Meshein Kamo, he was from the early Talmud of Rav Soloveitchik. He was playing with Rafa in the early 40s. He told me the Rabbi could wake him up at 3 o'clock in the morning when he had a Kiddush and walk along the banks of the river. Which river is that? Near Wadiu? The Hudson? East River? I don't know which one it is. Anyway, he used to walk along the banks of the river with Rav Soloveitchik with his Rebbe at 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning. So he was my first Rebbe. While you, then I had Rabbeinu, 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 Shlita, Rabbeinu, son-in-law, then I had about one thing, and then I was able to be around Rabbeinu for many, many years, and I was exposed to people who were building stuff, tremendous. Dolom HaTorah, they excited me about Limud HaTorah, and from that point on, even earlier, my high school days, I really was very connected to Limud HaTorah. At the same time, I still enjoyed biology, chemistry, physics, and genetics, and what have you. But Baruch Hashem, I ended up, and I'm very much myself in Israel, extremely so. They basically made me what I am, and I have a tremendous hakara tov. Not just to my parents, to my rabbeim, to the yeshivas that I learned in. I'm very much myself in Yeshiva University. I'm a proud graduate of Yeshiva University High School, and Yeshiva University High School, my days was not what it's like today. My days was Ramat HaMarim, Shibuk camp, to say the least. I won't get into details, one day I'll tell you the story, whenever, whatever the case is. But I'm very happy for what they gave me, and out of Yom HaZeh I feel a tremendous sense of Hakaras HaTov to them. And so too, we have to be happy for to our chaverim, to our friends, and in general, be happy for to every single person who does us a chesed, a tova, silly, mitzvah Hashem when you get married, be happy for to your wife, and even to be happy for to your children. Hashem, I'm zochet to wonderful children because of my life. And I also have a lot of hakaras hatov to my children. I don't, shall we say, necessarily agree with them. As a matter of fact, we rarely agree on anything. To be very honest with you. But I think that's natural. There's a generation gap, if you will. At the same time, as a result of their growing up in my house, in our house, they have actually demonstrated to me and shown me a lot of insight in many, many areas that I would not have been able to have insight into had I not had that interaction with them. And they've also is within of Hakaras HaTov. That's what I was going to talk about, but I'm not going to do it now that I realize what time it is, but I just wanted to stress and have to end with one thing. And that is, there's a famous pasuk in reference to Paro. If you remember, Chazal speak about it, Vayom Melachodash HaMitzrayim Asher Lo Yada Es Yosef. Remember that pasuk? That new king came who didn't know who Yosef was. Rashi calls him Machlokes Rav Shmuel, or the new king Mamish, or just the king with the same king with new different new decrees. Chazal say Asher Lo Yada, which means he decided he won't be mocking Tov for all that Yosef has done. What had Yosef done? Yosef saved Mitzrayim from new nation, economic new nation. He decided he's going to be a kofer tov, a kofer tov, and as a result, Chazal say from that back Hakaras HaTov, a little bit later the service says that when Moshe and Aaron came to Pharaoh, his response to them was, Lo yadati es Hashem, v'gam es Yisrael lo asherach. So first, you're not makir tov to another human being for what they do. And usually people who are not makir tov are usually quite insecure. and don't have the proper self-esteem, and don't have the ability to thank someone else for what someone else has given them, and if you lack hakaras hatov, it can ultimately have tragic consequences, namely even denying the Ribono Shel Olam. That's exactly what happened in Paramount Society. It's not such a long distance between not showing hakaras hatov to your chaverim, to your parents, to your rabbeim, to the yeshiva that you learned in, and from there to denying Hashem, the distance is not so great. So that's a nida that we should try to develop and cultivate. And even Chazal say that a Rebbe, as I alluded to earlier, said I have hakaras hatov to my children, but I also have hakaras hatov to my talmidim. And even talmidim, literally, in Yeshiva Tarashvara, in every sense of the word, because the Pasuk says, Mikom Olamna Hizkalti. There are two ways of reading that Pasuk. One is the, what I call my silly billy way. Mikom Olamna Hizkalti. Hizkalti is spelled with a sin. But it could be the sin of the Tama Hamdo Metathesis. I'm into that today. Metathesis, Osios and Salvo. Some people make their name into fools. Now, taking Sachar. But that's not what I say. I say, Baruch Hashem, the Talmidim of mine have made me very wise. And basically have illuminated and brightened my life with a lot of chokhmah and a lot of insight, and therefore I'm makir tov to talmidim as well. Very makir tov to talmidim, and that's the nida that we should try to work on. The sort of bikurim and the sort of what life is all about, and anyone who has no hakaras hatov is not only not a Jew, is not a mensch. Does that mean anything? It's very lacking in the very essence of what the human being is all about. Rosh Hashanah, I say all this because Kabbal Chomer, Rosh Hashanah, we have to make ourselves in Rav Shalom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to somehow be recovered upon ourselves, Omar B'Shamayim. And anyone who has that kind of hakara, that kind of recognition, certainly that person will be able to invite, to advance, to achieve, and to basically come to unquestionably great achievements and great